I just listed down a few of the what I consider some of the great players, you know, that I was involved with over here at the time. You know, Peter Ford, Alan Brennan, Dick Smith, guys who played, 500 games, I think, for Gloucester over that period. John Bayliss, of course, who came, didn't play as many games as them, but in turn played 90 games for the county, which in those days was that step further up the ladder. So all these, Mickey Booth, you know, Mike Nichols, Terry Hobson, Alan Townsend, the Folk Brothers, we're all sort of contemporaries here in my time.
Can we go through those one by one and you sort of say what you remember of their playing style? And
well, Dick Smith,
famous people.
Yeah, Dick Smith was a one-off, I think. A lovely balance runner, beautiful, could play really, and did on occasions play out in the backs, which was unheard of, but he was a wing forward, who, because of his inbuilt speed off the mark, was a guy that everybody really feared, and was a great guy to have on your side, because he complemented Peter Ford's lanky cussedness, really, in 40. Well, I always tell a tale. I remember one of the first training sessions of one season. We came back here, and I think it was one started then about August time rather than July. And I can always remember a little sort of altercation down there. And he flung me on the floor and kicked me. And I said, well, thanks for that, Pete. And he said, well, it's just nice to feel your boot going back in again, isn't it, really? And those were the sort of... he was well known for charging down kicks... But he was one of those cussed buggers that really got in your way and upset everything. And was well known throughout the whole sort of rugby fraternity as being that bloke from Gloucester who is a nuisance, put it that way. Yeah. So you had him.
And what sort of captain was he?
Excellent. He was a very astute player for him. Somewhat before his time, I think, in many respects. But one that realised that the strength of Gloucester in those days was the pack. And he always used to say, you know, right, we're working up the line. Mick, just keep chipping at Mickey Booth. Just chip it up the line, chip it up the line, and we'll work it up and work it up until we get into their 25. And then we'll fling it out and let Buffer Bayliss, as he called it, John Bayliss, do his magic. Well, John's magic was just roaring through. But it was effective, and it worked, you know. And behind him, you had Alan Brennan.
What role did he give you in that team?
Told me.
What can he tell you to do?
Goal kicker. I suppose last line of defence. I could tackle a bit. And every now and again, you would come in and just make that extra man. But it was all pretty forward orientated, and that was the strength of Gloucester. You know, we when you look at those, Alan Brin went on to get a caps for England, who came from Ross, I think it was, or Hereford, came here in my period, and was there for a long, long time. I think all those three, I think, are listed in the all-time greats here, legends, for purely on long-term. But John Bayliss arrived as a young boy, really, when I was here, but soon made his mark as a very abrasive player, and one, or a guy really, who in many circles still is revered and looked on as a very unlucky not to get a cap.
Yeah.
I was only talking over the weekend, it's a bit name dropping again, isn't it, really, but Bill Beaumont was asking, what happened to that centre Bayliss? And by pure chance, I had a little picture in the Citizen, one that's only been out the last couple of months, with John and his fundraising thing for his grandson, who's got leukemia, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
So I was able to show him. You know, he's still well known and still remembered by that gang.
I'm pleased to say we interviewed him last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Ah, great, great. Well, then you came, Mike Nichols came along as well in my time, who I would honestly say was probably as good a captain of Gloucester that the club's ever had. Very sincere, very Gloucester orientated, and a lovely footballer as well, great man.
Did you play under him as captain?
No. The captains that I had, Peter Ford on a for 2 years, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Mickey Booth and Alan Townsend. That was my sort of ear. We did have another guy, I think, who didn't get the accolades that he deserved, Terry Hobson, who, again, was a very gifted footballer, beautiful, superb line kicker, and had that sort of natural flair on a break that he could literally change pace without seemingly putting any effort into it, and a lovely kicker, particularly out of his hands, for line kicking, which again was another forte that I had, I think, really. But you were there to gain territory by line kicking. Terry was a superb line kicker. And from memory, got mentioned, he played against the All Blacks for the Western Counties.
That's
right. And an 11-all draw. And the summary at the end, I was trying to think who was the captain of the All Blacks. Anyhow, I know Terry was listed as possibly the best outside half that they played at during that tour, which is a great compliment, brilliant compliment.
Nice man too.
Oh, lovely bloke, yeah. Lovely bloke.
Nice character.
His father played here and his brother played here. Joe Hobson hooked here. What was his brother's name? Anyhow, I was forgotten, but he played not necessarily for the first, but was here, played for the United over the years.
I gather Don Rutherford did have a bit of difficulty tying him down to preset moves there.
Well, you can say that again, you know. Don was a theorist, wasn't he? Terry was played it off the cuff, I think, really. That's the best way to say it. As Mickey Booth summed him up, he said, if you ask me who was the best outside half I ever played with, I'd say Terry Hobson. If you ask me who's the worst bloke I ever played with, it's Terry Hobson. So that, I think, really sums it up in a nutshell and was beautifully put. And they are the best of friends, so yeah. You know, there's no malice there. I think it's an appreciation. Little Mick, you know.
The general.
Boothy, he was the general. Gloucester through and through. It was, you know, cherry and white. If you cut whatever part of him you cut him, he was there. The crowd loved him. He wasn't here when I first arrived. We had another guy, Gary Mace.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Mace, who, again, was an outstanding footballer, built very much on the lines of Gareth Edwards. Could have been a boxer, I think, really. He was that powerfully built, superb player. I remember one game we played Swansea, where the report subsequently listed him as the best scrum half they'd seen since Hayden Tanner, which was another great compliment. But you had Mick, who was at Innsworth at the time in the RAF, who came back and subsequently, you know, commanded that place, or commanded the scrum half for himself. And of course has been part and parcel of the club ever since. I think he's still is here on match days and is still an ambassador for the club. So, which
along
is great.
With Peter Ford and Alan Townsend.
Yes, well, and then Alan Townsend, of course. Alan came from Cheltenham, where I think he was captain of Cheltenham as well, and came here. And has been a great stalwart, really, for Gloucester Rugby Club. Not only within the club itself, but particularly on the county scene. And then was one of my predecessors on the Rugby Union Council. So, you know, and they were just great guys to play with. As I said, coming from Stroud, I was looked on initially as a bit of a foreigner, and you had to earn your keep. But in those days, the county aspect tended to fuse you more together.
Yeah.
Because it tended to be an amalgam of Bristol and Gloucester, and it always seemed to me, it was amazing, you always seemed to be playing Bristol on one Saturday, and then you'd all be together, well, not all of you, but 15, 16 of you would be together for the county the following week. So friendships blossomed, as well as attrition on the field. So, you know, that used to be the big game, I think, was Bristol Gloucester. Bath in those days was a Wednesday night, affair. But still had some very good footballers. But Bristol and Gloucester, you know, everybody. Well, the crowds that used to come here then, you know, obviously not as big as they are now, but they were big crowds for their day. I would suggest that you were looking at 5,000-7,000, between 5,000-7,000 people. Without, you know, your hospitality end here, it used to be on the top, blimey, they used to be up in the trees, and it was a lovely atmosphere, really, because it gelled everybody together, and I can see it now. When I, the times that I do come over, I always use the analogy that Gloucester to rugby is like Manchester is to football, isn't it, really? On match days, everybody takes over, you know. And it was just lovely to be part and parcel of it, really. It used to come along. The big games in our day, or my day, which just shows how rugby changed it. Cardiff, I would suggest, were probably then the biggest club probably in the world. Not only in Wales, but definitely within England or within Great Britain, and I would suggest could have possibly looked on themselves as the world's top club. Within the English setup, Coventry were the dominant factors then, you know, and they were great days here when, you know, when Coventry played here at Kingsong, it was. Well, invariably 14 internationals and young Coley, the scrum half, who never got a cap, but was a bit like Mickey, very talkative, very imperious almost out there, and dictated the policy with all these superstars around him. He was still the focal point, really, and those were big games, big memories, as I said. And then the predominance of Gloucester's fixtures then, I would suggest, would probably be down in Wales, because of the proximity, and it was always home and away.
I think there was a lot of judgment of whether you'd had a bad season of the results against the Welsh,
exactly.
the big four from Wales.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they were the days, you know, when Cardiff would bring up a complete international complement, closely followed by Newport, who were possibly heirs apparent then, and then as you say, Swansea and Thanethley, big games. But I think it was against Cardiff that we beat them for the first time since the war, which was, you know, the city erupted, and I think we could have had the freedom of the city. And yours truly, I think from memory, kicked a penalty goal, or kicked two penalty goals, which assisted in winning the game. So I could have had the freedom of the city, really.
What year was that?
That'd be, I don't know, 60, 61 maybe, I don't know.
I think that was 60, 61.
61, something like that. But
in the following season, you kicked the conversion in a 5-0 win over Swansea.
Was it? Well, I remember against myself, of course, it took over, and I think it was about three weeks later we played Newport out here, who were heirs apparent with the complete Welsh back row, Davidge, Creswell and Whitson, I remember, and yours truly gave them 11 points, I think, within about the first 10 minutes through either dropping the ball, and then I caught it, passed it, it was intercepted under the post and all that. And happy memories, you know, I turned round at half time. And I was down the shed end, the Dean's Walk here, near the shed. And I can visualise it now. There was a dear old granny there, sat there, showing all her drawers, sat on the steps with sort of one pickle stabber in her head. And she bawled out, "Ilyar, thee's want to get some of them pork pies down thy guts. Thee's might play a bit better." Of course, there was Ilyar's pork pie factory around here. And everybody assumed, though it was nothing to do with me, that I was the heir apparent. But it certainly was a lesson well learned that fame is very fickle. And, you know, the shed then was what the shed is now. It's a mass of characters who paid their money, and if you weren't playing very well, they really gave you the stick, you know. And I thought when it came off, Christ, it was only a fortnight or 3 weeks ago, you know, that we kicked the goal to beat them, you know, but that didn't matter. This was now, and that was it. So, but yes, there were great, great memories. And